College Golf Talk is back. Burko and Brentley with you. It's a Friday afternoon, wrapping up spring break in the Midwest. Spring break's already come and gone down there in the Sunshine State. March Madness in full force. We head to Augusta days from now for the women. A lot going on, my friend. A lot going on. I mean, it's almost April. Early, what, mid next week? It's April. It's here.
Hard to believe. Have you got your hair cut yet? I just got mine. I know it's, I mean, that is, in the world of what we do, a haircut is, I would argue, the most important thing going into a big tournament.
100%. I don't have much going for me, so the hair, and in a perfect world, I did it last Wednesday, so it will be just under 2 weeks from TV ready. I'm a big believer, a 10 to 14 day buffer. I don't want to look like I just got a haircut, but I want it to come together nicely.
Well, that's the difference with black hair and blonde hair. Black hair, you get the whiteness, like the fresh cut, the whiteness around it, which a lot of people don't like. When you have blonde hair, you don't get that too much. So I'm good. I got it this afternoon. But one more thing, too, before we get going. I think this is the sign of the times, and I just tweeted this out, but why do bench players on basketball teams, and I looked in Florida, had a couple guys, why do they feel the need, if you're a freshman or a sophomore and you're averaging 5 points a game, why do you need to do this big graphic and announcement, I'm coming back? Shouldn't that just be assumed?
You would think, but in this day of NIL, because I saw something today, I think with St. Louis, the Billikens, 9 of 11 are coming back and 2 are on the fence. Now, it appeared that they're all league players are all coming back. To your statement, the guy that plays 6 minutes a game, I don't know. It's just another reason of college sports getting muddied a little bit. And I think I saw Roberts Blooms, the leading scorer from Davidson, headed to the portal. Okay, you know, it's nice player,
they want
good player.
So much attention. They just they want attention. That's all it is. Yeah. If you're going to go in the portal, just go in the portal and announce you're going into the portal. But it doesn't need to be said that I'm a freshman and I'm gonna, you know, I'm coming back for a year too.
Yeah, real quickly, and I didn't get into it, but someone asked Izzo and Danny Hurley, why are people so against coaching? And he said, because we're soft. We're soft. People, I think it goes back to that Maryland coach on the women's side getting in the face of one of her star players, letting her have it, then getting vilified for it. And that player said, no, that's how you coach. You take it. Sometimes you got to let them have it. And if you read her lips, it was something like, you better figure it out. This is the moment. You're made for it. Step up. I'm paraphrasing. That's coaching. That's how you were to coach. That's how I was coached. Heaven forbid we yell at kids. Heaven forbid we say you're wrong. Doesn't work. I mean, this is a whole nother podcast. But I'm always a big Hurley fan with the jersey ties. Didn't hear what Izzo said, but very similar of what's gone wrong in the world. We become soft. I wasn't raised soft. I can assure you that. I'm not saying I'm anybody. But I got my fair share, and I deserved it every time. That note, I don't think there's a segue, so let's quickly look at our March Madness brackets.
That's a perfect segue for March Madness. Hoops Minute.
Yeah, I filled out two brackets, about 20 seconds on each. I still have Michigan over Michigan State in one of them, so that is alive. My other bracket where I have 7 of 8 possible remaining, the one not remaining, the Florida Gators, who I had winning it all, they kind of missed the boat. They're lucky they got back into it. I wasn't watching. I was out in Scottsdale enjoying spring break with the family, but we listened to the end of it in the car. And then when you see it at the end, their last defensive sequence, and the play with 4.5 seconds was not worthy of a team to move on.
Yeah, and you can't win tournament games without guard play. Like they won a national championship last year.
Because of guards.
Because of guards. And I mean, the same front court players. They were just really good top to bottom. But yeah, I didn't pick them to go to the Final Four. I actually picked Illinois. So that's looking very good right now. But because of the guard play, I just wasn't a huge believer in Xavier Lee and Boogie Flan. So, but I'm sitting pretty. I got all my Final Four still intact. I have Michigan beating Duke, although I wouldn't mind seeing Duke lose tonight. I think you're not
going to. St. John's can play. St. John's can play.
Everyone's got Duke going to at least the final in this pool that I'm in. So I wouldn't mind seeing that. And then I got a Survivor that I'm still alive in. The roadmap with Survivor is tricky, but I still have a path, and it involves picking Michigan again to win it all, and it involves Illinois winning a Final Four game. So fingers crossed. This is the best time of year. It's always my goal to make it to the second weekend of March Madness and still have stuff to root for.
And correct.
Here we are.
Married into a Wolverine family. Go Blue. Let's see what they can do, and maybe replicate Florida's run from a year ago. All right, a lot to get to. Transfer portal date changes potential. Give us the update. It looks like they're trying to slide it post NCAAs, correct?
Yeah, which, to be perfectly
honest, is a no-brainer.
It is, but I don't know if it necessarily really changes anything. It just gives coaches more time to tamper, which I saw a tweet that that said that, and I kind of agreed with it. But essentially, we still have the 15 days in December. I think it's like December 1st to December 15th, something like that. And it used to be, you know, men's and women's were a little staggered, but essentially early May for a month. And now the proposal is 15 days, starting with the final day or the day after the completion of the NCAA championship. So, again, I think theoretically, if everyone was playing by the rules, this is a home run, and it makes total sense that you can't start the transfer process until everyone's season is over. But, you know, that assumes that people are going to play by the rules, which, you know, talking with coaches over the last several months, it doesn't seem like any rules are being enforced. I mean, I've heard of some recruiting minor violations, all these things. They were just the NCAA, I think, is afraid to put the hammer down on anything because it could open themselves up to a lawsuit. So,
well, the doors was opened a long time ago.
Yeah, the toothpaste is out of every tube. The one you're using, the ones that are, you know, you haven't bought yet in the grocery store, they just don't sell them in the tube anymore. It's just, you just get a big handful of toothpaste and just like slop it on your counter. That's what college athletics is right now.
I did see you got into a little swinging logo golf.
How could you have?
And again, I removed myself from most of it on social media during a little family time. And it got pretty intense. It got heavy. And I did see my buddy J.C. Deacon of Florida say he was never more disappointed in you. That will always be foremost.
He's been more disappointed in me for sure.
True. That's always front and center because I'm old enough when that actually was in play in some respects during my time in Gainesville. And then I'm a homer with my dad, who was a great athlete at Rutgers, and they've got Hitting Henry, that Rob Schutte, that men's coach, has been kind enough to let me. I'll be darned. I didn't even realize that. I have a Hitting Henry hat on right now. Love it. Those are my two best logos.
It looks like Hitting Ralph. Yeah.
Hitting Henry, the Scarlet Knight.
That's a good one. See, I've seen, like, even high school teams have these now, and I've been getting a couple of those posted on the thread. I think we've jumped the shark a bit with the swinging logos. We might need to dial it down because about 80% of them look the same, but there are the classics. There's your Swinging Pete. You know, Swingin' Obby, Swingin' Bevo. There are some really good ones. I really liked, I didn't know they had this. I think Mississippi State's is pretty good. He's not swinging, but he's carrying the golf club.
Yeah, the bulldog underneath the arm, I believe, yeah.
Clemson's is pretty fresh. Georgia's is good. And there's some programs that don't have a swinging logo. Still, Wake Forest is one of them. Oklahoma doesn't have one. They have basically
a combo
times. Yeah, just a, I don't know. I mean, it's okay.
You can't force it, but I love that you stirred the pot.
I'm not going to disparage my friend in Norman again.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure more will pop up and you will be on it as we get to some results from the men over the past week. Valspar Collegiate, Texas Tech, a team you had talked about, I believe, a week ago, saying keep an eye on them. They rally to beat Auburn. Tyler Weaver takes down Ryder Cowan in a playoff for a tour spot. So that Valspar tournament, I feel like, is one of the last really good ones with postseason now, just a few weeks away with conference championships.
Yeah, that, and obviously the Augusta Haskins Award Invitational, the Ford Collegiate, which is kind of a newer event that's trying to occupy, you know, as those 2 weeks between basically this, the Valspar, and the conference championships. But yeah, I went down there Monday. We were wrapping up a few things for the Koivin feature we're working on, and you know, got to watch some college golf. The scores were a lot lower this year. Typically, you get some pretty vicious winds, and those closing holes can be pretty tough, especially 18 right along the water there. I remember a few years back, Gordon Sargent made a huge number, cost him a title 1 year, but a lot of red numbers, a lot of teams that should be feeling good about themselves, you know, Texas being one of them, Arkansas, you know, continuing to have this sort of resurgent year after a couple years living along that 500 line. But at the same time, you know, this is one of those last barometers as we talk about. And so you wonder, you know, Pepperdine, a couple not so great finishes in a row, they tie for 11th. And then Arizona State, they were the number one seed in match play last year at the NCAA championship. They won the stroke play. They finished 14th. So maybe you sound the alarm in Tempe a little bit. They're definitely one of those title favorites coming into the year who you probably have the biggest question marks around right now.
The Linger Longer, Carter Laughlin, wins the Linger Longer, helping
Georgia.
He lingered
longer than
everyone else.
Yeah.
He medals. Georgia, 21-shot win over Alabama. Vandy, third. Charlotte, fourth. You have a question posed. Worried about Vandy? No. But you better hope it was sort of an anomaly. It just wasn't the week where everything came together. I'm still bullish on Vandy in that under-the-radar sense of maybe not the top two, four, six teams, but I think Scotty Limbaugh has proven come this time of the year, the next 2 months, we'll see. You know, we talked about it a year or two ago. Did that window pass? And with those guys, it obviously did. But we say that about a lot of schools, you know, Illinois or North Carolina, you know, teams throughout the last 10, 15, 20 years. It doesn't take Einstein to figure out when you look at certain rosters, you're like, the time is now. Like, this needs to happen now. And it hasn't for Vandy yet, but I still think there's enough talent. Maybe not the depth that he's had in the past in terms of just All-Americans, you know, 1 through 5, but not overly worried. But you don't want to finish that far behind either.
Yeah, this isn't a roster that has the luxury of a player like William Mall in the 4th or 5th spot anymore. But they have depth, but it's, you're right, it's a lot of unproven pieces, though with a lot of potential. And I actually think that, you know, they were ranked, what, 3rd in the country for a good portion earlier this season. I think this is the best thing for them. They're down to 11th, coming off beating just 3 teams in Cabo, now 3rd against a much weaker field behind probably two teams that they probably should beat more often than not. You never want, if you're a young team, I don't think you ever want to go into the postseason or even conference championships feeling like you got it all figured out. So with some of these young players, I have no doubt in my mind that Limbaugh is going to get these guys motivated and put that chip back on their shoulder. And we could see a run like they had last year. Last year, we kind of left them for dead with what happened with Sargent, his game falling apart, and just being super young and unproven throughout most of that lineup. And they ended up having a pretty nice national championship. So this is still a team that is very much in the match play conversation. And I think they just need to lick their wounds a little bit and get a little bit more motivated, and we'll see what they do.
Some other results: Max Herendeen ending a little mini slump, wins the Duck Invitational as an individual. Illinois also winning the team title. Nebraska slipping a couple of spots on the final day as Marquette wins the Pay It Forward Collegiate by 4 over Iowa State. Frankie Harris.
Guys. Not 4 in that one.
Whoa, too soon for Freddie Hoiberg there. Frankie Harris wins the Hootie at Bulls Bay, although College of Charleston beats South Carolina by 6. And I think I saw that was Harris's 6th collegiate win, which might be the most in the history of South Carolina. They've had a handful of good ones come through there. Frankie Harris sort of quietly is really good.
Do you remember but I'm not sure started? That
Auburn, I believe.
Yeah, he was at Auburn. Yeah. He's a player who, again, you have certain guys who, you know, will burn the candle at both ends in terms of practice and preparation. Frankie Harris is a little bit of the other. He'd rather go out, have a good time, probably practice as little as possible, but super talented and super loose. I kind of like it. He has a little bit of an edge. He's a little wild. I kind of like him, and he can win. I mean, he's proven that he could win.
Correct. Got to have fun, right? Got to have fun. You can't hit balls 24/7.
Yeah, he's your consummate
student athlete.
Student athlete.
He does it all. All right, from the men to the women, some results to touch on. Iowa State by 4 over Texas Tech at Mountain View. FSU taking care of business at home by 8 over Eastern Michigan. USF by 10 over Florida Gulf Coast University at the Pay It Forward Collegiate. Marie Madsen leading NC State to a 13-shot victory over Rutgers at the City of Oaks Collegiate. But how about USC winning again? Ping ASU Invitational, didn't have the full complement on the final day, but Bailey Shoemaker seemingly healthy and playing some really good golf.
Yeah, she's back, and she didn't play at all in the fall. She actually hadn't played up until this spring, hadn't played since the NCAA championship last year. You know, she had an issue in her right arm. It bothered her toward the end of the spring, super painful, pulling the club back, making contact with the ball, even sitting, sleeping, doing that. And it finally got to the point when rehab didn't work this summer. She put away the clubs for a couple of months. When that didn't work, they opted to have surgery in October. And you know, she rehabbed that. And now she's back and she's put together, I think it's 4 top 12 finishes in a row, 3 top 10s. She's in a really good spot. I think still mentally, you know, talking with her last night on the phone, mentally, it's still going to be a bit of a process because as anyone who's had a serious injury knows, you could be 100% healthy coming out of that, but your mind is still attuned to, all right, if you know, I make contact with the ball, it's going to hurt. Well, she'll get through that. That's completely normal. And this is a squad and Justin Silverstein's team who I think they took a little bit of offense to me saying that they hadn't played an elite schedule, but they go out, they beat some really good teams here. I think that they've done enough to solidify themselves as the second best team behind Stanford. They get this done. Jasmine Koo was a little bit sick. She didn't play the final round at Papago or wherever they played. I think they played at Papago, but this is a really good, really solid team with now 3 players, maybe even 4, if you could add Kylie Chan to that mix as well, who can win golf tournaments, who have the type of talent to do that. They could be dangerous. And you know, I asked Justin Silverstein last night, like, can Bailey Shoemaker win the Augusta National Women's Amateur next year or next week? Last year, that wasn't the case. She was in pain. But 2 years ago, she had that great 67 in the final round, really a bounce or two or a missed putt by Lottie Rode away from winning. He said she's absolutely capable of doing that next week. So maybe a little bit of an under-the-radar pick as we look forward to that.
I was hiking around the Papago golf course just days ago and saw the ASU practice facility as we were getting some steps in.
You were there.
Yeah, I was. I saw it from afar.
They,
I think
did that at Papago. Yeah, they.
Did. I don't believe. Did they really? They did. Well, then maybe some of the players I saw from high above were them. How about that? It was that close to having a bird's eye view. but yes, I'm with you. USC, if Shoemaker's healthy, continues to play well, I tend to agree with you there in that narrative of that next tier of teams behind Stanford. And speaking of the Cardinal, holding off Oregon, but getting the job done at the Charles Schwab Collegiate. Kiara Romero winning the second straight tournament. A few weeks ago, we're like, gosh, we're waiting. Well, she's answering. And now maybe the favorite for Augusta. Maybe can make a run and win the Annika. You know, Farrah O'Keefe has had an amazing spring. I've always been bullish on the top-ranked amateur. You watch Kiara Romero play golf. It looks effortless. It looks easy. She hits it a mile. And when the putter cooperates, she's tough to beat.
Yeah, and we saw it last year. She played her way into the final group at Augusta National on that Saturday. Didn't have the type of performance that I think she expected, that we certainly expected. And she did a conference call yesterday as well, and I listened into that a little bit. And she just said how nervous she was, you know, from the first tee shot on. And it's just a matter of putting herself in more of these positions. Like, she's proven that she can win. I just think it may be in her head a little bit at the big, big event. You know, U.S. Women's Amateur, your NCAA Championship, Augusta National Women's Amateur. She certainly has the tools in the tool belt to do that. The putter has been a little bit of a carousel. She was in a lab for a couple of tournaments in the fall. Now she's got a Scotty Cameron mallet. Seems to be working. She's won back-to-back events. I feel like with her, she's such a great ball striker. She's got so much firepower that you have to be aggressive. But at some of these elite layouts, especially Augusta National, I wonder if maybe at times she's too aggressive. I think maybe she needs to pick her spots, be a little bit more conservative, but not really totally give up what makes her so great. So, I mean, she's definitely one of the favorites. I think Astris Tally, who's competing on the LPGA this week, runner-up last year. She's got to be amongst your short list. The Stanford 3, 4, 5 players, however many you want to throw in there. And then we mentioned her a little bit ago, Farrah O'Keefe. I heard that a couple weeks ago, she may or not have been at Augusta National playing, I think it was with her team. I think she shot 65, which is the course record for females. That's what I heard.
It may or may not have happened.
Fairly unsubstantiated, but we'll be able to ask her next week. But I'm fairly certain that that may have happened. Now, not tournament conditions. I think you still have to, you know, tip your cap to Bailey Shoemaker and Ella Galitsky last year, 67s. But yeah, those are my kind of my short list. You got any?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking, I'm scrolling with you. I mean, you kind of hit on everything. And someone's going to play their way in that maybe we didn't anticipate, but let's be honest, the field is as good as you're ever going to find in amateur golf. And then I think that sets us up for our draft, right? We always pick some players, see who's doing what. I think I won last year.
I think you've won every year. No, actually, you know what? I think I won last year for the first time because it was a runaway and we just didn't bother tallying it up on the final day.
Got it. So
but
does that allow
essentially everything else we've done? Yeah. Regional picks, we've done ANWA. Haven't quite.
Just because I'm old. That's all. All right. So let's do it again. Write a tally, and I guess I will let you pick first if you did one last year, right? A little snake draft. 1, 2, 2. We'll do our thing. And what are we picking? 7, 8 each? What's the number?
Yeah, I think 8's good. We'll count our 5 best, and then we'll see how many make the cut, and we'll go from there. But maybe best 3 or best 4 on Saturday at Augusta National. I'm pulling up the field, but I know who I'm going to pick first. You got to go.
We just said her name.
Amateur in the world. Kiara Ramiro. I believe that, you know, she's on a hot streak. She's rolling the ball well. I think the speed's good. She knows this golf course. I'm interested to see who's going to be on the bag. She's had her sister on the bag at times. I don't know if that's going to be the plan again. But I think I'd be remiss to pick anybody else. So I'm going with Kiara.
All right. So I get the next two, correct? I will take Farah O'Keefe, who has won three times this spring, up to fourth in the world. And then I will follow that up with a young lady with whom we know who will be caddying for her, Miles Russell, on the bag for Astros Tally.
All right. Hold on, I missed your first pick. Was it Farah? You picked Farah?
Yeah, Farah O'Keefe and Astros Tally.
Okay. Might as well just put, I was looking for like a field list that I know that I did one that ranked them by their World Amateur Golf Ranking. I might as well just pull up the World Amateur Golf Ranking because
I have to get
the 1 through 50, you know, pretty much all except for one, I think, right now. And things could have changed right around that, you know, 47 to 55 line, but who's who are in the field. I'm going to go with the number two ranked amateur in the world, Paula Martín San Pedro. Talked to Ann Walker, the Stanford coach, a couple of days ago. She said Paula really hit the gym hard this winter. She's gained 2 to 3 miles per hour in swing speed. That's what, Berko, probably about a club, if we're talking about yardages, probably has 2 to 3 more wedges. When you hit it as straight as she does, and you're just so great, so accurate throughout the bag, great putter. If she's a little bit longer, I mean, this is the same player who's already won a women's British amateur, has already won a European ladies. She's going to be tested in a couple of majors here over the next few weeks. I'm going to go Paula Martín San Pedro.
I like it. I like it. And then you get another one, right?
Ooh. Give me Rianne Malixie. I always root
son of
for
a gun.
For the good stories. I know that she's one of your favorites.
Yeah.
But as someone who enjoys kind of the stories that are almost meant to be, you're looking at someone who was the best amateur in the world a couple summers ago and taking titles at both the women's AM and the girls junior. Set to blow the doors off at Augusta National last year, but has to withdraw on the eve of the tournament with a back injury. A little bit of a slow start to college, but she's been gangbusters this spring. I mean, she's won once or twice. She nearly won at Colonial a few days ago.
Shot 63 last day at Darius Rucker.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No, I like it. Good pick. Smart pick. I will go Mega Gane.
A little bit banged up.
I asked
Ann, I go, if she didn't have such a busy stretch, and you think about after this, she has ACCs, she has the Chevron, she has regionals, she has the national championship, knock on wood, and then she has the U.S. Women's Open and the start of her pro career. I think it's probably serves her well to take a couple of tournaments off, but... I like that pick. I mean, she has more experience there than anybody. This will be, what,
correct,
her fifth or sixth?
Yeah, maybe even seven, possibly. And then I'm just overthinking it. I'll take Andrea Revuelta, her Stanford teammate.
We might end up picking every Stanford player here. I mean, we've got three
players. Be foolish not to.
Commit. All right. You know, I'm tempted to pick Ella Galitsky, but I'm just hasn't been her best. Got off to a good start at Darius, didn't finish well. This is where everything kind of runs together. But I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I'm gonna say Kathy Park figures out Augusta. She's been a bit inconsistent there. I don't know, for some reason, this will be her last one. I just have a feeling that she's going to play well. And then I get another one for my fifth pick. Gosh, this is very difficult. And I'm probably overthinking it, but I'm going to go Maria Jose Marin. Another player who hasn't necessarily played great there, not particularly long, but she's shown the propensity to win big tournaments and play well at big tournaments. So I'm going to go with her.
Like it. I'm just going to keep going down the wagger. Give me Maya Ortengren. Another Stanford. And you didn't pick Galitzki, correct?
No.
Yeah, I'm with you on what you said, but few hit it farther and higher than she does, which is really critical. So I will take her with my seventh round pick, which I feel like is a steal.
I think that's your sixth. One, two, three, four, five. That's six.
Six. All right. Well, I fibbed then. My sixth round pick.
And this will be six and seven for me.
I think we should do seven each, right? You get two, and then I get the last one.
Okay. I like that.
You know what I mean?
I like that. All right. I'm gonna get a little jiggy with it here, and Amy Cata Fernandez Garcia Pollo from Texas A&M.
27th in the world.
Has put together one of the better seasons in college golf, I feel like. But she's also not qualified for a couple of events this spring, which shows, I think, more how deep A&M is than necessarily Cata. I mean, clearly she's not playing terrible because her results have been great. But I like that. And I think I got to make good with the women of Troy, and I got to go with, we'll go with Bailey Shoemaker. We talked about it. We talked about it. It could be another good comeback story here. I almost went Jasmine Koo, but.
No,
but
that's where I thought you were going. Yeah.
We'll go Bailey Shoemaker.
Well, other than, so you've got your seven. This will be my last. Other than the win, this past champion hasn't.
I know where you're
been
going.
Gangbusters there.
Oh, but it's been a nightmare. Remember? I mean.
Oh, I know. I know. Some missteps, some bonus strokes. I will take Anna Davis, who I believe 2 or 3 years ago was probably a top five pick overall.
Yeah. Maybe better. I mean, she's got it in there. I mean, she can win tournaments. It's just she could also miss the cut.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, with a field like this, there's a lot of players who you could say that about.
But, all right, her seven.
I thought you were going to pick Tsubasa Kajitani.
It was a struggle last year. Which I believe was her first time back since winning a few years ago.
Yeah, first or second. She might have been back the year before, but yeah, you're right. And yeah, playing again.
Yeah.
Is it, when does that run out? Is it five-year exemption? So this would be the last.
That's
year?
A great question. I mean, you should be able, if you're still an amateur, shouldn't you be able to run it?
Kind of like, kind of like the Masters past year.
Correct. So that's it. You'll throw it up there. We'll take a tally, and obviously we'll both be up there. We won't have a traditional episode of College Golf Talk. 5 years. There you go. But you've got something on tap for our diehard followers. What can they expect?
Yeah, so, I mean, Kihei Akina was our top-ranked junior coming in for the class of 25. He's won back-to-back starts now. BYU stud has played a PGA Tour event. May have had dinner with his agent at Valspar, and I've heard that Kihei's dad is a friend of the pod, big pod listener.
Whoa,
and,
wow.
Not to say that we pick our guests based on how much their parents listen, but I think he's earned it, and it should be interesting. And so I think in a week where we're both going to be super busy, And I'm going to try to knock out an interview with him early next week, and we'll post it, you know, maybe on that Friday, maybe next Friday or next Thursday. And then we'll reconvene Masters Week to recap ANWA and look ahead.
Always going to be fun, my friend. Safe travels. We will see you up at Augusta. And as always, thanks to those for tuning in to this edition of College Golf Talk. April is upon us. It gets real. Enjoy every step of the way. For Brentley, I'm Burko. We'll see you next time right here on College Golf Talk.